Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Merry Christmas, Miss Lara!
Here in the West, Dr. Zhivago, the book and the movie were both huge mainstream hits.
Merry Christmas, Yuri Andrei.
The David Lean movie, you may remember, starred Julie Christie and Omar Sharif, an epic full of sleigh bells, wind-blown snow, and crossed destinies.
Dr. Zhivago is betrothed in marriage to...
And also balalaikas. Lara's theme from the score by Maurice Jarre is still almost painfully familiar. It could be heard on every jukebox and in every elevator at one time. 1965 was the year the film was released. But the 1957 novel, Dr. Zhivago, began as a highly controversial, even inflammatory work in the eyes of the then Soviet Union. The author, Boris Pasternak, told the story of Yuri Zhivago, a physician as well as a poet, whose life is dramatically affected by the Russian Revolution and the turbulent era that follows. Its challenging and questioning view of Stalin and Russian history and politics in general made it unpublishable in the USSR. The manuscript was smuggled out by an Italian publisher and became available in the West in Italian and Russian, and then in a rather hastily done translation into English.
I must say that my whole interest in Russian literature began 50 years ago when I first read Dr. Zhivago.
It was read in English with rapt attention by Richard Bevere.
I read it as a naive young reader. I was going to be a poet myself. I read a novel about a poet, so I was just carried away by that.
At the same time, across the world, it was read quickly in Russian by Larissa Volokhonsky after it had appeared in the West.
These books started making their way back into the Soviet Union, these little editions in the late 50s, early 60s. They were on the list of forbidden literature. We were not supposed to read them, but we all read them. We borrowed from each other. I would have the book for two nights, you know, we would sit and read it. And of course, we were terribly interested, and also the poetry in it was wonderful.
Husband and wife, Bevere and Volokhonsky, are now the first translators to take another crack, a more considered one, perhaps, at the English translation. And the previous translation, you said he had 3 months to do it, and you spent how long?
Two years.
Translators are always looking at writers' work in extreme close-up. It is a strange way to get to know a book.
It's an unusual way, very close to the words of the book, maybe not in the possible analysis of the meaning of the book, but you have to account for every word in it. It's almost abnormal to read the way a translator reads, although the result, the translation should read as if it was a natural process.
These Pevere-Volokhonsky translations of Russian literature achieve their naturalness through their now very well-known process. Volokhonsky, the Russian speaker, does the first draft, a very precise word-by-word, phrase-by-phrase translation into English. Pevere is the native English speaker. He has the next go, giving careful attention to style, nuance, and the peculiarities of English, as well as the historical period and the voice of the Russian author in question. Then they negotiate their way to a final draft.
A literary work is a very specific living thing, and what we have to translate is not into good English, but into Pasternakian English or Tolstoyan English. And it means a give and take between two languages. And that's, well, for me, the most interesting thing.
The two have translated The Brothers Karamazov, War and Peace, many Russian classics.
But Pasternak was the most difficult of all, I think.
Yeah.
It was like no other book.
The mind-bending characteristic of the book, they discovered through their necessarily close reading, is the almost cinematic style of Dr. Zhivago, one of constantly changing points of view, sometimes within a few sentences.
Pasternak is very specific in the way people speak. And there are all kinds of people. There are peasants, there are machine shop workers, there are street cleaners, people of all classes, all sorts of accents.
But also the narrator's voice changes all the time. it's lyrical, then all of a sudden it's theology or philosophy or history or some kind of inner experiences. So it also changes. It changes sometimes very abruptly.
It's a very experimental book.
And they grew to appreciate the way Pasternak looked at the sweep of history from the deeply personal point of view of his characters' lives and recollections, the simple everydayness of the language.
I have this phrase, when they all come out on the tracks, they travel on a train, and it's very uncomfortable, and they have no food, and all of a sudden the train stops, they can't go further. And they all get out and have to shovel snow. They're very happy. All of a sudden they can move and do physical work, and it's beautiful. The snow sparkles.
Yeah, the sun has come out. Yeah.
And Yuri Zhivago has one of these moments of happy reminiscence of his childhood. He all of a sudden turns into a little boy. How it reminded him of the far-off days of childhood when, in a light-colored hood trimmed with braid and a lambskin coat with hooks tightly sewn into the black curly wool, little Yura had cut pyramids and cubes, cream cakes, fortresses, and cave dwellings from the snow in the courtyard, which was just as blinding. Ah, how tasty it was to live in the world then! How delightful and delicious everything around him was.
He uses this phrase,
kak vkusna.
Tasty. It's a very ordinary, is this ordinary language. How tasty it was to live.
This is a novel about memory.
Talk about memory. They read the book separately a half century ago in two different languages. Now they've translated it together.
It seemed to me a perfect closing of a circle.
It's almost a mystical experience, you know.
A little like a Russian novel. Destinies crossing unexpectedly. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.